You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Shane Jones, Cabinet Minister from NZ First, has made more comments about migrants, something that is becoming somewhat of a common occurrence. Last week, he claimed that Indian students had ruined academic institutions because of the unfettered migration happening.
We should debate it, and there should be a mandate rather than opening up the options unfettered and everyone comes here from New Delhi. I don't like that idea at all.
You don't like the people coming from New Delhi?
Oh, no, I think that the number of students that have come from India have ruined many of those institutions.
This was later condemned by Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
It's wrong. Patently, it's wrong. Whatever label you put on it, it was wrong. I've said that. I've shared that publicly. I've shared it privately. And I've also shared my view on those comments going forward.
And more recently, condemned as racist by Race Relations Commissioner Meng Foon.
This continued rhetoric of picking on minorities is hurtful, shameful, demeaning. And I'm asking Mr. Jones to be kind and to stop this sort of nonsense.
I spoke to Anu Kalotti, who is the president of the Migrant Workers Association of Aotearoa. She eloquently debunks the blatant untruth in Shane Jones' statements and explains the real-life exploitation of migrants through agents, phony colleges, pay-to-work schemes and constantly changing visa regulations. Here is Anu Kalotti. You've said that Shane Jones' comments are unacceptable. How would you correct him?
The comments that have been made, not just in the last few days, it's been a continuum from end of last year. So yes, they not only are they unacceptable, the comments are actually racist, directed towards the Indian community specifically. In terms of correcting them, I suppose we're in an election year. And leading up to this election, people should be seriously considering who they vote for. I am pretty certain that New Zealand First doesn't really have a huge following within the Indian community anyway, but what little following they do have, those voters should be giving it a serious thought whether this is the right party for them or not. Yeah, that they are openly racist. And the other way to correct this is also, I think Mr. Shane Jones needs to be reminded of some facts. You know, it's very easy to just unleash this kind of rhetoric and narrative, but he is factually incorrect. He needs to look at some of the data and the stats. For example, international education export is, I think at the moment, fourth or perhaps the fifth largest export in New Zealand. And it brings in somewhere between $4 and $5 billion in terms of revenue. So, you know, Mr. Shane Jones doesn't seem to have any problems with the revenue side of things. And yet, you know, he's very fast to unleash these kinds of comments. And also, you know, he's putting a narrative out there which is completely incorrect. He is saying that the students from New Delhi have ruined all these colleges. So, you know, I put it to him that it's NZQA, the authorities that recognises, acknowledges these colleges in the first place. So they, under last government's watch, National Party government's watch, a lot of dodgy colleges were allowed to open up. Mr. Shane Jones, I don't think, commented at that time. And then subsequently, these colleges have been in the spotlight where NZQA has gone in, closed them down, or closed, stopped some of the courses that they were delivering. Mr. Shane Jones did not comment on any of that. And as a result of these, I am not against the college closures. You know, if a college is underperforming or taking shortcuts, yes, NZQA needs to come in and clean up. But in the process, several colleges that we are aware of and where the international Indian students reached out to us for help, the students weren't really being taken care of. They were just like left mid-air with nothing, no qualifications, out of pocket by tens of thousands of dollars. So, you know, where was Mr. Shane Jones then when these students were out protesting, asking for help? In 2016, 2017, more than 400 Indian international students were deported from New Zealand because dodgy offshore education agents misled them and put them in a situation that was no fault of the students. So those students were punished and deported, but those dodgy education agents are still free to this day, and the last government and this government as well refuses to do anything about those agents or anything about licensing them. I don't hear Mr. Shane Jones commenting or discussing those issues. And I would also like to add the 400-something students who were deported. There was a small group, a strong, brave group of students, about 11 of them, who came forward at that time in 2016 and fought a very long, hard campaign. And as a result, about four of those students who had been deported were allowed to come back to New Zealand earlier this year, end of last year. And also, as a result of a very long investigation by the Ombudsman, Immigration New Zealand was instructed to reopen case files for about 200 students, Indian international students, who had already been deported. So I don't hear Mr. Shane Jones saying anything about that process, you know. So a huge injustice was delivered to international Indian students at the time. And we've only seen four students return, so there's still 390-something who are back in India with nothing, no qualifications, a reimbursement for all the money that they spent in this country. And, you know, a student easily spends between $20,000 to $30,000 per year per student in New Zealand. So, you know, it is definitely racist, and there's no place for it. So Mr. Shane Jones needs to consider all of the points that I have just mentioned. And also, yesterday or the day before, we had the Race Relations Commissioner, Mr. Mink, a brilliant article that, you know, we must not give anything to racism. And in this election year, that anything amounts to votes. And it's just so sad that people that he is targeting are not actually voters, so they can't even vent there through the electoral system. So the responsibility then comes upon Indians, migrants, who do have the voting rights and exercise that power on election day.
Does Migrant Workers Association of Aotearoa have any action or protests planned?
We have an upcoming action on this Sunday, on 8th of March, which is actually specifically about visa processing delays. Immigration New Zealand seems to target applicants, visa applicants of Indian origin, where, you know, the families are being kept apart, partners of New Zealand residents and citizens are not being issued visas. So people have been waiting for months. One person I know who's been waiting for the last 2 years. So at that protest, we will also be talking about the racism that New Zealand First and Shane Jones keeps unleashing. And we've got another big event coming up, which is on 14th of March. That's called Rise Against Racism. And that event is to mark the first anniversary of the Christchurch terror attack, and to also remind ourselves and other people of racism that we see in and around us all the time. So we will be talking about Shane Jones in that event as well. And it's this kind of rhetoric that emboldens people, and then that ultimately ends up a terror attack on two mosques. So, you know, the things aren't unrelated or unconnected. It's just how people normalize things, and especially somebody in a position of authority and power like Shane Jones. You know, if it's okay for Shane Jones to say these things, certain people or people who follow or buy into that kind of rhetoric would be emboldened to carry out attacks.
To counter his comments, explain the reality of migrant workers in New Zealand.
A lot of migrants recently have come in through the education pathway to residence, and I say a pathway to residence because that's how it's been promoted by New Zealand government and by Immigration New Zealand and by Education New Zealand website. So migrants have not really come up with that pathway themselves. That's how it's been promoted and sold to them. So they come here, a lot of them come here as international students with a hope to be residents here. So there's nothing wrong with that dream or that aspiration, because if it's lawful, it's legitimate, and that's how the government agencies and the government have promoted it. So once they start off on that route, it's just a really expensive exercise, 20 to 30,000 New Zealand dollars per student per year. And most of the students come here because they are escaping lack of opportunities in their home country. So by no means are they rich or well off. You know, they come from very modest financial backgrounds. So most of them have taken out loans, or they have incurred huge amounts of debt to be here. So when they arrive here, not only are they studying, they're also working part-time to pay the loans off back home and to make ends meet here as well. So in the process, quite often they end up working more than the hours that they're allowed. We know that is wrong, that is unlawful, but they're in a desperate situation. So that's how they start getting exploited as migrant workers. So once they've qualified, graduated, they are now full-time workers. Again, that exploitation, because the visas, work visas at the moment, have to be attached to an employer. So the employer then exploits them because they hold the ultimate power. If the employer doesn't support, the worker doesn't get the visas. So workers end up buying jobs, paying for visas. So the exploitation continues. And then, you know, they hope one day after 10 years or more than 10 years, they will become residents here and then ultimately citizens here. But what's been happening in the last decade is, so this was under the last government and this government, every time a migrant who's been working towards meeting immigration requirements to get their next work visa or next whatever visa, every time they're like this close to complying with the requirements, the government goes and changes the immigration policy. So that's not happened once or twice. It's happened several times over the last 5 to 10 years. So the goalpost keeps moving, and it's always out of the migrant workers or the students' reach. So it is a really, really desperate, diabolical, unacceptable situation that, you know, this country always has. I think at the moment there's something like 250,000 people on temporary. And over the last 2 to 3 years, we've seen the number of applications that are approved for residence visas compared to the number of applications approved for temporary visas. Like the temporary visas have gone way up and the residence visa approvals have gone really low down. So again, this was Winston Peters on record last year where he clarified that when New Zealand First and the Labour Party were having discussions after the last election to form a coalition government, the one condition that Winston Peters put on table was that migration must be reduced, migrant numbers must be cut. So that's what we are seeing now. So, you know, they've found this way of cutting migrant numbers down by keeping more people on temporary visas and fewer people on permanent visas. So that is the story of a migrant. You know, they are always working towards this ever-diminishing goal of being here permanently. So we have said time and time again, lobbied the government, made submissions that visas must not be attached to employers. Yes, have your temporary visas for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, depending on whatever skill shortage we have and whatever requirements we have for the workforce, but don't attach them to the employer. You know, we don't bond or enslave Kiwi workers, so why are we doing this to migrant workers? And the other thing we've always asked for is, you don't want to have more migrants coming in, don't bring more people in, but people who are already here, like, you know, the 250,000 on temporary visas, maybe consider giving them a one-off amnesty or giving them a one-off special pathway to residence, so that we can be fair to all working people and we can look after people well enough. That's all we ask for. But the way that the racist talk and the way New Zealand First Party have been presenting it, it's like as if the floodgates have been opened and people from all countries are going to arrive here. It's not like that. So from a migrant's perspective, it is a very, very painful journey. And achieving that ambition, that goal that was presented by the government of this country in the first place is, it's just ever decreasing and becoming ever out of reach.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.